This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Timothy Hartfield from Jasper, Georgia, and you're listening to a special Horse Husbands Only edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 22nd, episode 1283, brought to you today by Uncle Jimmy's Licky Thing.
I am a manly man who lives a manly life in my manly house with my manly wife.
And now, from the Man Cave at the Horse Radio Network, the monthly Horse Husbands episode starring Timothy Harfield of HorseHubby.com and America's Horse Husband, Glenn the Geek. This one is for you guys. No horse women allowed.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the second episode of our Horse Husbands Only. And, of course, Timothy is here with us now, the fourth Thursday of the month. Hey, Timothy.
Hey there, Glenn. How are you?
All right. Did you get in any trouble after the first episode?
You know, I didn't. I think because she didn't listen to it.
That's always better.
Which is good. It gives me complete and utter license to say whatever I want on the show. So,
Jennifer,
we'll see what happens today.
Jennifer didn't listen to it either, so we're good.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're in good shape. See, I always know that she's not going to listen to my shows. So if she's not on it, she's not listening to it, so I'm safe. But the listeners seem to enjoy it. Got a lot of comments, mostly from women.
Oh, yeah. How do they like the porta potty?
The whole thing. I had many comments about how people couldn't eat Hershey Kisses ever again. You ruined that for him forever.
You're welcome.
If you missed that first episode, go back and take a listen to it at horsesinthemorning.com. Well, we have a fun show planned for you today. We probably have, if I'm America's horse husband, our guest today is Canada's horse husband, right?
Yeah, we've got Jamal. We're going to talk about this. Jamal Awad, who is, of course, husband of Canadian Olympic eventer Holly Bennett. We also have, who's this Buck character?
Yeah, well, this Buck character is the boyfriend of Helena, of the Stable Scoop radio show. We thought it would be fun occasionally to bring on the husbands or boyfriends of the hosts here on the Horse Radio Network. So we'll get Chad on, Jamie's husband, one of these days, a fighter pilot, although she is like insulating him. I can't get through to him. She's kind of hiding him and not letting him come on, because I guess we're not supposed to hear the real truth, but he'll be on one of these days. But I thought it'd be fun to do that, and we'll have him on.
We have lists galore, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to do some lists today.
We have some perks of dating and marrying a horse girl.
Yep.
We've got some tips for producing awesome horse show video. Lots of stuff on the show today, Glenn. Really looking forward to it.
And a new segment called Glenn's Pet Peeve of the Month. So I'm going to bring a pet peeve to everybody, and I think every horse husband out there is going to agree with this one. So that's all coming up on today's show. Let's get started right away. Your wife has been busy.
Yeah, she's been super busy. We're sort of really happy to be at the end of competition season until January now, which gives Elisa the chance to, you know, do some clinics and some community service. She's going to be doing some more Mustang demonstrations coming up, and she's really looking forward to being a judge for the Retired Racehorse Project, actually, which is coming up in a couple of weeks.
She's going to be Horse Park the week before the Breeders' Cup.
Sounds like something you know about.
Yes, I do, and I'm very upset that I'm not at the Kentucky Horse Park the week before the Breeders' Cup. What a fantastic thing, that Retired Racehorse Project. So she's actually judging for that?
Yeah, she'll be judging the freestyle competition, which is really interesting. You know, of course, she has a lot of experience with the Mustang, so this is very similar to work that she's done herself as a rider, but it'll be nice for her to be on the other end and actually do some charitable work supporting the community as her horses get a bit of a break. So that's really exciting. She's also doing clinics with various collegiate eventing teams and other people coming up too. So that's really exciting. The unfortunate thing is she's been away almost every weekend for the past 3 months. She's finally at home, which is great. And I'm, of course, traveling for business every weekend, it seems like, myself. So we're continue to be ships passing the night. But that's, I guess, what you get when you put two passionate people into a relationship together.
And we want to tell everybody you're breaking up a little bit because of your wonderful internet connection you have at the farm on top of a mountain.
I live on a mountain. It's great.
It is breaking up a little bit, but we'll see if we can get through here. It's definitely your internet connection. You have something you announced this week at horsehubby.com that we need to talk about, and I have some questions for you from some of the listeners.
Okay, well, I'm really excited this week to announce the first annual Horse Hubby calendar contest. This is something I've been cooking up for a while, you know, knowing that horse husbands are always doing crazy stuff. And okay, here's a story. Last night, I fell asleep because it was the nighttime. And apparently, I started snoring loudly, like an old man or a dog. And my wife, instead of waking me up, reached over, grabbed her phone, and recorded me so that she could play it for me today as proof that I was sleeping. That's what wives do. So the first annual Horse Hubby calendar contest is an opportunity for wives and horse hubbies to share all of those embarrassing pictures with the entire world. So we launched it this week, and we're sort of asking for people to submit their pictures, and we've already gotten a tremendous response. So we're really looking forward to that.
Are you looking for funny pictures? What kind of pictures are you looking for?
I'm looking for whatever people send. I'm just really interested in keeping it open. Mostly, I expect to see some pretty funny pictures.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be the hot pictures like you see with the Australian model guys.
Please, dear God. No, because we all know, except for...
The Australian model guys.
Yeah, and Jamal. The rest of us are pretty average guys who end up finding ourselves in really embarrassing situations, and this is an opportunity to show those off. For more information about that, you can visit horsehubby.com and all the rules and stuff. Pretty basic stuff. Just asking for a picture and a bit of a narrative, a story to tell, so that when we post these things live in a couple of weeks... open
now,
voting.
Is there going to be an actual calendar next year?
Heck yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
We're going to produce a calendar. Everybody who wins will receive a free copy of the calendar, and the calendar will be sold and ready for stockings come Christmas time.
Great. I love that idea. I got to look around now for some pictures. Got to dig. I love the picture. The one of you that I used in last week's show notes is a classic. I hope that's on the cover of you sleeping on the tack trunk at a show.
I'm really good at sleeping.
Apparently. Oh, by the way, Elisa, behind your back, sent me a little audio.
No. What? Okay. Jeez, you got me.
Actually, you totally got me. She didn't send me.
She would do it. She's in the other room. I wouldn't put it past her.
If she had thought of it, she would have.
Absolutely.
She should have. She should have sent me you snoring. I would have played that in a second. She's going to have to get on the ball if you're going to be a host. Had you worried, though, didn't I?
You sure did. I'm terrified. but kind of excited. Kind of excited.
Well, we're gonna start adding some lists to the show too. I did this one years ago. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, and I sent it in to Horse Nation, our friends over there, to post. And they posted it, and it ended up like being in the top 10 of all their posts for the entire year. And it was a list I did, so I thought we'd revisit it. It's been a while. And it's the horse husband list of the top 10 perks of dating or marrying a horse girl. So these are my top 10 perks. So number one is you can cancel your gym membership as you'll be getting plenty of exercise around the farm, cleaning, mending, fixing, chasing, repairing, building, etc., etc., etc. And I forgot to add there, you won't have time to go to the gym. That was the other thing. It should be there. Yeah. Did you keep your gym membership?
No, I canceled my gym membership And I also don't do any cleaning, mending, fixing, chasing, repairing, building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I canceled my gym membership and have replaced the gym with driving and drinking and just generally getting fat.
Oh, there you go. Well, that'll work too. How do you get away with not doing all that stuff? She has people. See, when I met my wife, she didn't have people. I was people. That's the difference.
No, that's she doesn't have people either. We don't have people.
You don't have people?
No.
I thought she would have had people.
You know, it's sort of what you find very quickly is that it's hard to find people, especially on a mountain.
Yeah, I guess so. You guys need to move off the mountain.
Yeah, someday. No, but as we've established, I have a pretty long commute, and so I end up coming home pretty late in the night. And you know, when I do come home, Elisa's finishing up, and I kind of would prefer spending time with her.
So like, she does all the work herself?
Yeah.
Wow, Superwoman. Jeez.
She sure is.
Superwoman.
She's the one who has the farm gym membership.
Yes, exactly. And I always said, you know, I always wanted to marry a woman that could beat the crap out of me, and I did. And you did, apparently, too. So,
yeah, I try not to get into any fights with Elisa.
No, you'll lose. You'll lose. They're used to taking care of horses. You're going to be nothing. So number two is you don't have to lie about blowing off work to go to the track. She'll go with you. There's that. Number three perk of dating or marrying a horse girl is tight-fitting breeches. And that kind of speaks for itself. It's the one thing that makes horse shows really worth going to.
People like the yoga pants, Glenn.
Yeah, but that ain't nothing compared to
breeches. People who like yoga pants haven't seen these breeches.
No.
Haven't been to a horse show.
It's the only redeeming quality of a dressage show. Is the tight breeches. Number four, horse girls are very strong. You'll never have to worry about that beer bottle cap again, which is just what we just talked about. Number five, horse girls tend not to be clothes hounds or wear tons of makeup, so you will save money there. Every horse girl I know shops at Goodwill. Even the ones that can afford it go to Goodwill. I don't know why that is, but they do.
And I think that's why they all have free shirts. The shirts come to them and they wear them into the ground.
Yes, they do. I have to throw my wife's away. I don't know if you do that. My wife's shirts, if I get sick of seeing them, I just throw them away. I just don't tell her and I throw them away. And then she'll come and say, where's that shirt? I don't know, dear. I don't know where it went.
I dig the holes.
Number six, they tend to fall asleep early, so you'll have the remote to yourself after 9 p.m.
Untrue.
Untrue?
Untrue.
She stays awake?
So two things. A, she stays awake, and B, she the only technology in our house that I have nothing to do with is the remote control for our television.
Oh, she controls that.
That is her job.
Oh, wow. Does she watch stuff you like to watch?
She likes watching the TV, and I like spending time with my wife, so it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
So the Housewives of Atlanta is a favorite?
That's a lot of reality TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I pictured Elisa being a reality TV person. Do you have to watch Dancing with the Stars too?
I haven't. Do you watch that, Glenn?
No, I don't watch it.
Is that your favorite?
No,
I'm hearing it's your favorite.
No, I don't watch it.
I'll send
no.
you. There's got to be some sort of Dancing Jamie. With the Stars merchandise I can send you.
No, Jamie loves it.
Maybe we should get you on there. You're a celebrity.
I don't know. Number seven, they are easy to please. A new shake and fork, a new pair of paddocks, or even a lighted hoof pick will make them happy. You know, you buy them anything for the barn and you're golden. You're good. You don't have to worry about buying gifts ever again.
I've tried the jewelry.
Yeah, that doesn't work so well because they never wear it.
No, where can they?
That's
the horses
right.
don't care.
That's right. And they don't wear jewelry, at least the smart ones don't wear jewelry in the barn, including their rings because they'll get their fingers cut off. So, yeah, jewelry's not really a big one. Number eight, you can save money on haircuts. They're great with the clippers.
Does your wife cut your hair?
No, she doesn't cut my hair, but she does cut her own hair. She has never gone to the hairdresser.
Oh, wow.
I go once a month. She has never gone. She cuts her own.
Would you trust her with it?
No.
So you've never asked?
Would you?
I ask. I do. I want her to.
Oh, you're crazy.
Because I don't want to get haircuts, and she's great with clippers.
You're crazy, man.
But she refuses.
Yeah.
She doesn't want that kind of responsibility.
Exactly. She doesn't want you to work with this stripe down the middle of your head.
Heck, I'll take it.
Number nine, horse girls are not afraid to get dirty. And that is true. And number 10, have you ever seen the two-point position? That is the top perk of dating or marrying a horse girl, especially an eventer. Right? shake your head like this.
You're going to have to explain that one to me.
Do I really?
Yeah.
Jamal will explain it to you.
I want you to explain it to me.
Two-point position, that's when they're trotting and they're standing up in the saddle, kind of bent over. It's called the two-point position.
Good. You get to see the breeches.
Yeah, from the back. Yeah,
perfect.
That's right. That's right. That's what makes that so special.
Incidentally, Glenn, that's the perfect way to ruin a joke.
Yes, it is. You didn't even know what I was talking about. And all the wives out there are now going, well, he is new to this. Because you just had your two-year anniversary, right?
I sure did. It was great.
Well, that's good. Well, let's wish for another 28 and you'll be caught up to me then. You'll catch up. Well, let's do this. Let's hear from Uncle Jimmy. And then we're going to be back with Canadian Horse Husband of the Year, I think, right after this message from Uncle Jimmy.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it, and Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
We have the great pleasure today of having Jamal Awad on the show. Jamal is, of course, husband of Canadian Olympic eventer Holly Bennett. He's a former Marine turned equine/human massage therapist. So really, he's every equestrian's dream come true. Welcome on the show, Jamal.
Thank you very much. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Every equestrian's dream come true.
No, I was going to say that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, but that's nothing to live up to there, Jamal.
So I think in the last 30 seconds, we pronounced your name, I think, 7 or 8 different ways. So we need to set the record straight. How do you pronounce your name, guy?
Well, first off, variety is the spice of life. So, you know, I appreciate it.
That's
especially
what
when
she
they put
said.
Those fun. That is, you're taking my line. That is, I'm trying to be mature, and you guys are like really, really, really not helping me here. It's pronounced Jamal Awad, but again, like I said, I totally understand if, you know, people can't pronounce it.
All right, say the first name again.
It's like the first name is pronounced Jamal. Like
Jamal.
Phonetically, it's like Jim and Al.
Jamal.
And the last name is like Awad. Awad, yeah.
Awad.
Yeah. So do Canadians have an easier time with your name than Americans?
There's usually a bit of A's and you know, what else do they usually say? They say
say Jamal. Now, I've been saying that for years. You've been coming on these shows for years, and you've never corrected me.
I know. Like I said, you know, I'll pretty much answer to anything. So, you know, I don't get offended because, again, like I said, it's it is a bit of an unusual name. I get it. So people are going to mispronounce it. Well, I'd spend my entire day trying to correct people.
And I've heard your wife's name pronounced wrong many times.
Oh, yeah. Like Holly. Like Holly.
Yeah. Howley.
Yeah.
So. God, between the two of you.
Yeah, you need a dictionary or one of those automated pronunciation type of apps or something like that just to get through our names. But yeah, we manage.
Jamal, we met for the first time actually not too long ago at Blenheim.
Yep, that's right. We did. It was brief. I know you had your hands full, and you know, so did we. But still meaningful. I still wanted to do those blogs and those video blogs. We got to make it a point to you know, try and meet up and do that next time. But I understand, you know, you had your priorities set.
Oh, so. It was really busy. I was making a point of any surface I could find, I had to nap on.
Yeah.
And Elisa had to take pictures of it. So, yeah. You know, I had really had my hands full.
I definitely like to see those. It was a blur. Like every day passed by so fast. And again, you know, it was a great event. I just, you know, wish I could have spent more time with, you know, you and, you know, all of our friends there. But again, I know the priority of fire goes to, you know, the horse show and the horses. So.
But then followed by some excellent, excellent adventures. You were gone for the better part of a month, weren't you?
Yes, yes, I was. You know, I couldn't in good consciousness just go there and not spend some time there. I've never been to Oktoberfest. When I was in the Marines, I was on short assignments there, and all my friends always talked about it. So that was the first part of the trip. You know, I wanted to, like I said, just get out there, experience it. It was insane. I couldn't even get into the beer tents. It was crazy. I mean, the amount of people that were, you know, going through, obviously, the venue, but they had, I can't even remember the exact number, over a dozen tents. Before 5 p.m., you can go in there, you know, without a reservation, but you had to have a reservation after 5 p.m. They didn't kick anyone out before 5, but, you know, you had to relieve yourself. So if you left, then you weren't getting back
in. You were done.
Yeah. Or if you were creative, I guess you could have found other ways to do that. But, you know, I wasn't witness or party to that. But, no, it was a great time. We stayed at a couple bars, like, you know, that were close to the venue, and it was just as fun. But, yeah, we tried to stand in line, and after about an hour, we were like, we'd rather drink somewhere else. So, but it was amazing. So yeah, I went to Amsterdam first, then went to Oktoberfest. Then after that, visited about two friends in France, one in the south of France, Lyon, and in Paris. And of course, you know, I count the UK, but, you know, technically that was, you know, a business
trip. That was work, yeah.
Yeah. But I can't believe it's over. Like, it was such a good time. I always... like when I'm in France, my French is always conversational when I leave, and then I lose it. And then it's like, it's in, you know, ebbs and flows. I go back and, you know, I have to relearn it again. And by the time I'm have some proficiency, it's time to go again. So, yeah, I couldn't wait to get home, but at the same time I was really enjoying myself. So yeah, it was about a month, and I used Airbnb pretty much, or stayed on people's couches. So
hey,
that
how
was
did the
adventure.
Airbnb thing work? That came up on the show the other day, and we've had a lot of... I've never used it, but we have a lot of listeners that used it that seem to have good luck.
Have you used Uber before, or Lyft, or Sidecar?
No, I don't know if no, actually, never have.
Okay. Well, most of your audience may, of course, know what Uber is, and some of
right,
them may know
right.
what Airbnb is.
Right.
Basically, Uber and Airbnb, they're... You know, it's an app, but the people either use their own vehicles or their own residence
right.
to host people. So basically, you go online, you put in the city, you can put in an exact address, like if you want to stay next to a friend's house. And people that have, you know, either a couch or a room in the house or the entire house or apartment will be listed. And from there, you put your dates in that you want to stay, and that'll narrow the field down. And then after that, you send, you pretty much, you have to put your credit card information in these apps. So it'll put a hold on your credit card for the amount. It gets sent to the owner, and then they either accept or reject your proposal. And if they accept it, then you just link up with them when you get there, and they'll greet you, hand you some keys. And pretty much it's, I would say it's much better than staying in a hotel. It's cheaper. It's more personal. You both rate each other. So that keeps it honest. And the perks that you get are, I think, are a little better. Like, they'll have, you know, snacks, breakfast maybe included, drinks. You know, there's a lot of bennies to that, you know, or you can go on the cheap. Like, there's, you can go any price range you want. You know, the cheapest I was doing probably was about $40 a night. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was with some college students. They were renting out their rooms while they were, I guess, on vacation during Oktoberfest. So you can go from there, and I've seen rooms listed that were over, you know, $1,000 a night, and that's in someone's mansion. So it covers the whole spectrum.
And it's so smart for equestrians. When Elisa went over there, they wanted to, I think they put most of the team in a hotel, and that hotel was going to cost the better part of £200 a night. So what she did instead is she essentially went through an Airbnb type service, and she was able to get a house with, I think, three or four rooms. We were able to fit eight people in there for £170 a night. So, you know, a real time saver. And like you say, the experience is so much better. It's more intimate. It's more sort of homey. You can, you know, if you had dogs, you could maybe bring your dogs in there. And it just is more like home. So yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, you should look into it. I mean, like I said, again, if you've ever had problems with cabs, you know, they're pretty expensive. Uber is definitely level the playing field when it comes to that.
Although you don't want to be an Uber driver.
A bunch of their data
is leaking. Like every couple of days, you hear of a new leak from Uber drivers.
Well, I'm an Uber driver, just to put that out there.
Are you really?
You put that on my resume. Yep. I decided to do that. I was so impressed with it.
And has it worked out as a driver?
It's great. The market here is saturated, so you probably get one ping for pickup a day, which isn't that much. And I wasn't doing it for the money. It was more just to get out, meet people, and you know, have something else to do. But I liked it. I mean, you meet some pretty interesting people, especially after midnight.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It got to the point. It didn't happen in my car, but I actually started procuring air sickness bags and putting them in the backseat of my car. Because you can only imagine. A couple people have thrown up, but not in my car. You know, I've talked to other Uber drivers in the area.
Hey, so, can I put in a plug for you guys when you're traveling in the United States next time and you need a rental car? I tried this when I was in Dallas the last time, and it was unbelievable. It's called Silver Car, and it's a car rental, but they only rent four-door silver Audis, and it's like $49 a day. And you get this silver car. What you do is an app. You rent it on the app. You show up at the airport. You hit, I'm here. Come pick me up. They show up in an Audi. They drive you to the lot. You take your app. You scan the QR code on the windshield, and you drive off. That's it. No lines, no nothing. And you get silver Audis, and it has free GPS, free Wi-Fi, free satellite radio. They you don't have to fill the car back up. They charge you normal rates to fill the car back up when you bring it back. When you bring it back, you drop the car in the lot, or you pull in the lot, they hop in it with you, you drive to the airport, they drop you off, and you're out.
Are they paying for this episode?
No, but I'll tell you what, Silver Car.
That was awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
It's the greatest car. It's the greatest car rental experience I've ever had. It truly is.
Is that just here in the U.S. or is it global?
Yeah, they have like a dozen or two dozen airports now, but they're growing. And I think they're growing as fast as they can buy these Audis. So, really nice car. There's plug for Uber, Airbnb, and Silver Car. I need to get paid for these.
For renting horses, can you call someone on horseback to pick you
on an app?
I think there's a market. I think it's time. The market is ready for the Uber. I don't know what.
Yeah, we'll come up with some name. We'll call it Tricainter or something. I don't know. Like you can hire an equestrian for the day to do a catch ride or something like that. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. So
You call that ambulance visit 101 is what you call that. Speaking of which, how's your wife doing? Last time I talked to you, you were in a hospital. If you remember right. Remember? It was a while back and we talked. You were sitting by her side in a hospital. So I assume everything's good.
Oh yeah. She's great. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, the level of fitness with the athletes. You know, Holly's always been very super fit, so I think that helped a lot, you know, with decreasing the seriousness of the injury. Could have been worse. And also a recovery time. So, you know,
can you remind us what the injury was?
She broke her back. They called it a stable sacral fracture. They said if you were going to injure any part of your back, that would be the part that you would want to get injured. If it had been the coccyx or the tailbone, as people like to say, that would have been catastrophic and would have been career ending. Because it will never heal properly. And, you know, with that pressure up and down movement, you would never fully have any comfort whatsoever. So I know there are probably some riders that, you know, deal with that pain, but it would definitely hinder your operations. So, but yeah, she's great. You know, I work on her. We do katsu, and I know that's something else, you know, that you probably don't know about. I introduced that to Timothy, but That's a new, well, it's not new. It's a Japanese training system that's been out for 40 years, and it just hit the global market, and I got introduced to it, and I've been, you know, doing that since June. So that helps with injury prevention, healing, as well as muscle development.
What is it?
They're pneumatic bands, so it's like blood pressure cuffs. You put them on both arms and both legs, but separately. You increase the pressure and workout, or they have what's called the Katsu cycle, where you just sit there and it inflates on a cycle, 8 cycles, 20 seconds on, 5 seconds off. Basically, it puts it doesn't cut off the blood pressure or the blood flow. It actually, it's called blood flow modification. So it slows the blood down. By doing that, it becomes the lactic acid builds up in the limbs, and the receptors in the arms and the legs that detect that sends a signal to the brain and back, and your pituitary gland starts releasing massive amounts of human growth hormone. Your body does that when you run a marathon or when you've been working out strenuously and your muscles start to break down. So your brain receives those signals and sends HGH out to heal it. Well, with Katsu, it's basically cheating. You know, you're simulating like that's happening, but it's not. Your muscles are fine. So you're getting all of those gains without having any of the soreness or muscle breakdown. Now, if you haven't worked out in a while and you do the exercises that are, you know, programmed, then you will be a little sore from that just from not using your muscles. But if you've been working out and you do this, you'll see some incredible strength gains, you know, from this. I've been doing it since June, and my muscles have increased in size, and I'm able to work out like I haven't been able to since I've been in the Marine Corps. So I carry it with me wherever I go, and I use it. And I've trained a couple people, as a matter of fact, including I think Alicia. Didn't I? I trained her and a couple friends of mine while I was over in the UK and also in France. And you know, they liked it, but unfortunately, you won't see any results like off of 1 or 2 days. You have to, you know, use it at least for a week in order to see any form of gains. But
so does that mean Timothy looks like you now?
Yes, except, you know, I'm a better tan version of him. So
that's very generous of you.
Why, thank you, sir. Thank you. As proof of my photo that I sent him earlier. But, right. You know, I digress.
But he had a good question here, Timothy. You don't mind if I ask, do you? He had a good question written down, and that's, you guys are both pretty independent people, and yet you seem to have a great relationship. How do you keep that great relationship?
Communication's the key. From the beginning, we've had very good communication. We talked about, you know, basically our previous relationships went well, went bad, and, you know, what we wanted out of the relationship. And we are independent, but, you know, we're a couple. You know, we decided that we were just going to be husband and wife, not, you know, people ask, you know, well, why don't you start writing? Well, I've tried, and I'd like to, but, you know, I don't think I'd have the flexibility as far as, you know, just, you know, being a couple and having fun. You know, I do help her out, and, you know, I do take care of her when she needs, you know, help. She'll reach out and say, I need, you know, for you to do this or that. But basically, you know, the key to, I guess, how we've been, you know, is just being, like I said, you know, husband and wife, and not, you know, rider barn boy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a separation of church and state when it comes to that. You know, I'm there to support her, but ultimately, like I said, we enjoy just being around each other, because we don't, you know, we're not around each other all the time, or, you know, we're not, you know, doing like being at the events all the time, and me, like I said, being competitive. Because I think that would, you know, have some overlap there if we were both riding or we were both competitive. I know couples that can do that, but again, like I said, this works for us. We're, you know, I'm a husband and she's the rider. So, but, you know, getting back to your original question, like I said, communication is always key. You know, I know a lot of people, they've asked me that before, you know, as far as, you know, what they can do, as far as, you know, if they are just starting to date someone or they're in a relationship, how to talk to them. You know, most guys that I know nothing about eventing. So it's, it's a bit of a shock, actually, you know, because it's labor intensive. Most of the riders that I know, they're probably outrun Marines because, I mean, they're used to getting up in the morning, lobbing, you know, bales of hay, you know, getting there, you know, the sun is, you know, not even shining, and come home when the sun's down. You know, it's pretty hard work. And, you know, you've got to be able to keep up with that and just be supportive. But I like the fact that, you know, she found her calling and this is what she wants to do. And, you know, I would, someone told me I couldn't be a Marine or couldn't do what I did, then, you know, I'd have a problem with that. And, you know, she's got to have her space to do what she needs to do. So I respect that. You know, she loves what she does and, you know, she's good at it. And, you know, you just have to give that person that space in order to, you know, do what they have to do. So hopefully that wasn't the long-winded version of, you know, the answer that you're looking for. But again, like I said, you know, I think about, you know, the Olympics and, you know, what happened there and, you know, how I felt, you know, that was, I love her. And, you know, it was very difficult to see her like that and not know what to do. And, you know, I worry about her. And of course, like I said, I want, you know, nothing but to support her. But at the same time, I do love her and, you know, I want to keep her safe. But it's a rough sport and, you know, you got to go with the punches. And it's not when, if you're going to fall off, rather, it's when you're going to fall off. So
how do you deal with those anxieties? You know,
well,
you know, it's risky, like you say. And you know firsthand how risky it is.
Well, here's another shameless plug. See, I got a flask from Dewberry, and I usually fill that with the preferred beverage just to keep me calm and relaxed.
Orange juice, of course.
Yes, of course. And, you know, that's usually helpful. No, seriously, I mean, I'm a realist. I know, you know, you hope for the best, but you prepare, you know, for the worst in case something like that happens. But, you know, Holly, she prepares herself. I go on those cross-country walks with her. I pay attention. I mean, if I started riding, I probably, you know, I'm not saying I'd be an expert, but just by listening and going on these cross-country walks with, you know, her and all the riders she has been with, I can, you know, figure out how to negotiate the course. But it doesn't make me an expert. But again, like I said, that's what we did in the Marine Corps. You know, before you go out on an exercise or go into battle, you walk the course, you walk the ground. Eventing is much like being in the military. As a matter of fact, I think it was a test for cavalrymen.
That's right. It was. It, when it first started. Yep.
Yep. That's great. So
it was all military. Matter of fact, you had to be military at the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. Right. So, but now it's developed into what it is. But I like that part because it does remind me of being in the military. You have to, you know, walk the ground and figure out what your battle plan is going to be. And that's only as good as until you get to that particular question. You know, things could change the ground. It could rain. It could get torn up by, you know, the previous riders going on that. So you may have to change your tactics. But yeah.
What's the hardest part for you?
The time away. Again, like I said, I try and go with her as much as I can and support her, but someone has to mow the grass. Yeah. You know, take care of the dogs. Fortunately, we have friends that really fill in when it's the major horse shows. But, you know, when it's local, I like to stay here and, like I said, take care of things. But that's the hardest part, just the amount of time apart. And, you know, she's definitely on top of social media. So, again, that takes away from, you know, the husband and wife time. But you have to do those things. And she can't do that when she's at the barn. So, again, I just try and support her behind the scenes with, you know, the administration and logistics. Finance. I'm the bookkeeper. You know, I take care of, like I said, just things that aren't glorious or sexy, but I'm good at it. You know.
You know how that saying goes, guys. Where, you know, the saying about behind every good man, there's a better woman. when we're dealing with horses, it's the other way around, I think.
Well, it's a female dominated sport. So I'm sure if the polarity was reversed, then that would apply.
All right. I'm still sticking with this. I'm sticking with it. Hey, we're doing a new thing this month where every guest we have on, every horse husband, gets asked some 5 closing questions. They just require quick answers. And would you like to ask them, Timothy?
You got it. So these are rapid fire.
Roger.
What is the chore that you hate the most with the horses?
Cleaning poop.
No one has said cleaning sheaths yet.
Yeah, that's mine, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Rapify, that is it. I'm sorry. You said the one that I hate. I have never done that, and you can ask Holly. I refuse to do that.
Me too. That's what a vet's for, in my opinion. I'll pay him.
I was like, ain't going to do it. Not going to touch it. I guess training, we're never going to do this again.
Yeah, so. That's right.
So that actually answers number two, the one thing you refuse to help with in the farm.
There you go.
She was looking at me for the longest time, straight face, looking at me. You have to do it. And we couldn't continue with the lesson and she was joking with me, but she has such a straight face, so a poker face. I couldn't tell if she was joking or not. I said, I guess I'm not going to event now. There's no way I'm touching that.
Exactly.
Not at all. So anyway, sorry.
A product that you can't live without.
A massage oil.
Preferred one?
It's called Kerr. It's K-U-R, and it has two dots over the top, some fancy symbols.
I just wrote that down. You know, all of us guys could use some help in that department, too. So,
And I hear that the horses like it, too, especially when you're cleaning the sheath.
It goes a long way.
Number four.
Multi-use.
What is your pickup truck brand of choice?
Dodge, most definitely. Holly wants a Renegade Toto Home, but... that's next on the agenda, but Dodge, I've seen all three of them. She had a Chevy, but Dodge is definitely the truck she has now.
Gas or diesel?
Awesome. Diesel.
Yeah, I thought so. Good man.
Yeah.
And lastly, what advice would you give someone considering a new relationship with a horse person?
Again, communication and be open-minded. You know, the eventer, if you know, you can't expect them to be, like I said, a barn boy. Expect for them to, you know, clean up, to do things. And the guys, of course, you know, you can't expect not to do that. There has to be, you know, middle ground there. But slowly introduce them and should let them hang out with the guys, too. There should be fun time as well as work time. I think we're lacking in that. And I appreciate the venue that you have, you know, to get the message out there and, you know, to hopefully have us link up. But that's what I'd recommend.
That's awesome, Jamal. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Spectacular as always.
Why, thank you. I really appreciate it. We should do this more often. Really.
These are my pet peeves. That's right. This is my pet peeve of the month. My pet peeve of the month. Every horse husband out there is going to agree with. And that is the evil, satanistic person who invented hay nets. I don't know who that person was, but I absolutely hate hay nets. They were made to torture horse husbands. Ugh, have you ever filled a hay net?
Yeah, but the worst thing, yeah, they're terrible. And it doesn't matter what the hay net looks like. No. There's all kinds of different designs. Yeah. They're all terrible. But the worst thing is when you're struggling and your wife turns a corner, she sees you struggling and you want to get it done, but you can't. So she comes to help and like in 2 seconds, it's done.
I know.
And she looks at you with this look like, well, why was that such a big deal?
How did you become a doctor?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You can't fill a hay net and you're a doctor.
Can't fill a hay net.
I know. And I've tried different systems. I've tried like using muck tubs and spreading them out over the muck tubs. And then when you get the hay that's really loose, there's two types of hay. There's hay that's packed really tight, so the flakes are really tight flakes and you pull them apart and they don't fall apart. And those you can get in a hay net pretty good. But boy, we have bales right now that are just loose. They just fall apart. Trying to get those into the hay net is just a nightmare. I hate hay nets. So when she's not looking and I have to do the hay and they're in the barn especially, I just throw it on the thing. Screw the hay net. And if you have a bunch of horses, we used to have like 25 horses, like you guys, right? And then they all have hay nets. It's like you have to do that times 25. It took me 3 hours. I was, you know, she's in taking a shower and eating dinner, and I'm still filling hay nets.
And some of them are double bagged?
Yes.
We have one that's triple bagged. So that's three hay nets on a single bale of hay. That's a lot of work.
And then they have the stupidest systems for hanging them up. And you have to hang them up with the cord wrapped around this way and that way just right, or it's wrong. And if you do it wrong, then the horse can get his leg caught in it, his nose, or whatever. apparently they can get anything called the haynet. So I don't know why we use them if that's the case, but I always hang it up wrong. And then she always comes. She used to bitch at me about hanging them up wrong and used to show me how to hang them up correctly until she figured out that I was never going to learn it. It was never going to happen. So now she goes behind me when I'm not looking and then just fixes them all. So that's what we do currently. I don't know. That's my pet peeve of the month. Hey, Nets. Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek, and I am here with Timothy of horsehubby.com, and we are doing the once-a-month Horse Husbands episode. And part of this is, and we review an article that you can find on horsehubby.com. What are we talking about this month?
So speaking of pet peeves, Glenn, I've seen a lot of just crappy horse show video. Yeah. And so this month, actually last month, end of September, I put up a post on the top 10 tips for producing awesome horse show videos. One of the ways in which I've contributed to Elise and her career is by cultivating some skill in this area and by putting a lot of energy and effort into producing high quality horse show video. And so I thought I would share the wisdom. We've got 10 tips up there. I want to just focus on a few. Tip number one, make sure you're filming the right person. That's key. And that's actually...
How many times have you done that wrong?
Several. They all look the same, especially if you're a new horse hubby. And okay, if you're a brand new horse hubby...
Especially in dressage, they're all wearing the same damn thing. It's like...
You'd think, and your wife will sort of face palm, my horse is gray.
Right.
That horse is a chestnut.
Right.
Obviously not. But if you're brand new, you know, you can't even, your color. Well, we all know that men are colorblind anyway, so that doesn't really help. But, you know, so know what your way.
Well, and the old video cameras used to have that tiny little viewfinder, and looking through it, you couldn't tell what you were looking at anyway. It just looked like this blob in the distance.
No, hit record and pray.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's know funny. What your wife looks like. That's important.
And know what horse their horse looks like.
Know what their horse looks like. Know what she's wearing. Look for cues. And in an ideal world, know the order of go and know who's going before her so that you can even record them and then get her afterwards.
You do not want to make this
mistake. You do not want to make this mistake. Not because she's going to be angry at you because you tried, but it's that look of disappointment.
Oh, no.
You
want to
avoid that.
She's going to be angry with you. What are you talking about?
Regardless.
And you don't
want to pick a fight with a horse.
She's only not angry at you because you've only been married 2 years. You wait till you're married 4 to 7 years. Then she'll be angry with you when you screw up. That's going to change, thanks, buddy. That's going to get different.
Well, that's incentive to get really good at filming.
Yeah, you better get it right now because it ain't going
to
get any better.
Or at least to recognize her horses. Or to recognize her.
You guys are still on your honeymoon.
So make sure you're filming the right person. And that was actually submission. Nick Hintz of Course Walk, the cross country app, suggested that. And he took a really great picture because he himself had made that same mistake. So here's my biggest pet peeve when it comes to video. Glenn, you've probably done this.
I'm
sorry, but don't. When you're recording video, don't hold your phone vertically. Just don't do it because it's a bad use of the real estate on your screen. And what are you supposed to do with it? You know, you watch video on the television. Your television is not in.
It's not up and down. It's sideways.
It's not up, down, side to side.
Right.
You know, you're watching YouTube videos. It's not up and down, side to side. So if you're going to take high quality video that your wife is going to appreciate, that other people are going to appreciate, hold it side to side. The other benefit of that is.
Go ahead.
If you hold it side to side, you can easily manipulate it with two hands. Up and down, you only got the one hand, not stable. Two hands, more stability, more beautiful video. Do it.
Well, and now, you know what's kind of messing that up a little bit is Periscope.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on, Periscope. Come on, Twitters.
Yeah, because you hold it up and down for Periscope. So.
Yeah, you know what? They're jerks. Don't. I've used Periscope. No, I hold it, you know, the other way. Hold it landscape. No, don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't
Video, for YouTube or whatever, for Facebook, don't do it.
You look like an amateur. Don't do it.
Yes, you do. And I've done it. And then, can I add one to that?
Yeah,
do not start off doing it one way and then turn it in the middle of video. Don't do that either.
I get so there are times from time to time I'll be producing video at home while other people are recording video elsewhere, and they'll do this. The amount of post-production work required to fix it is a lot of work. Just do it right the first time.
It's a nightmare. And the next tip for producing awesome horse show video?
Well, there we got a bunch here. I'm just gonna look at one more.
Okay.
Don't panic. So what I used to do, sometimes I still do. You've got, especially on cross country, you've got these horses flying at a long distance, and it's so easy to lose them. When you lose them, it's easy to just sort of try to find them in your tiny little viewfinder, and you're not going to do it. You're just going to end up getting a lot of trees and grass and sky and bushes. You end up losing time. The trick is when you lose your wife on cross country, that sounds really bad, but when you lose your wife on cross country, simply zoom out, don't panic, find her, and zoom back in. You'll capture much more on cross country, and the quality of nobody cares if you're zooming in. If they're in the frame, what they don't want to see is sky and trees and bushes.
You're right. Right. Exactly. And you know, there, you have another thing on this list too, and I'm going to add to it. Number three is keep it steady. You know, and don't be drunk when you're doing it. See, that's what I'm adding to keep
it
steady.
Don't be drunk. But also, okay. But it also helps if you're doing video. If you know nothing about horses, guys, Horse Hubby, you are at a distinct advantage when it comes to filming this stuff. Because when you see a horse person film, they are never looking in the viewfinder. They're always looking sort of at the horse itself because they don't want that camera in between them and the action. And they also can't contain themselves. They're hooting and they're hollering and they're yelling and they're commenting and all this other stuff. Whereas if you're a horse husband and you have no idea what's going on, you're filming dressage. You have no idea what the heck is going on. All you know is that you have a job, and that job is to keep that horse and rider in the frame.
Now, the other thing that wasn't on your list, number 11 should be on there, and I've made this mistake before, is do not say anything that you will regret your spouse hearing later. Like, ooh, that sucked. You know, something like that is not good later. I'm telling you, it will not be taken in the context in which you said it.
But it's another advantage to being a totally ignorant horse husband,
yes,
right?
Yes, but I was always that one that
if
knew a
little
bit.
You don't know what sucks. You just assume that everything's awesome.
Well, you can tell
what
sucks. Way
to go, honey. You really knocked those poles down.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
10 points for each. Yay.
Yes. It's like bowling. I'm sorry you left some up, honey.
Yeah,
you'll get them next time.
Could you go back and do those again? So do be careful what you're saying. All right. So that's you want to see the rest of that list, hop on over to horsehubby.com and you can see the rest of that list and all the other terrific articles that are on the website. You're doing a great job with it.
Thanks. And we're getting a lot more contributions from others as well. I've said it before. I can write some things. I'm pretty uninterested in the stuff that I write. I'd like to get more articles and feedback from other people. So to our audience, if you have something to contribute, a tip, a story, a picture, a what else? Video, a sock. I'll put up my address. You can send me a sock. We just want contributions. Send them in.
All right, very good. We'll do. And I'm going to try and get the article written here in the next month or two about the phases of horse husbandry.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
Glenn.
Because you're in the first one. You got a long way to go, buddy. You got a lot more phases to go. It's going to be fun watching you go through those phases. Well, next up, we have our second guest of the day. Helena B. was the first host on the Horse Radio Network with me, Stable Scoop Radio Show, 8 years ago, 4,300 episodes ago. And She was actually married then and ended up unfortunately going through a divorce. And then she met this guy. His name is Buck. Super nice guy. We were just up at Helena's over the summer, had a terrific time, hung out with Buck, had a wonderful time. And Buck has a unique story because he has a grown daughter that's a horse person. Sirius has her own farm, trainer, all that stuff. Actually, how he met Helena was through his daughter. So not only did he have a daughter into this, but now he's got a girlfriend. in this as well. So we're going to find out what made him crazy enough to know what he was getting into and to jump into the deep end of the pool. So we have a Buck coming up, and he is from Connecticut. Well, hi, Buck. Welcome to the Horses in the Morning show.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here.
You've been on Stable Scoop before, but not on Horses in the Morning. And, you know, I thought if we're going to have one of the boyfriend slash husbands of one of the co-hosts on, it might as well be the first co-host, and that was Helena. So, you know, Buck, you know, you actually are coming at it a little bit differently, and that is you kind of grew up a horse guy.
Or in a horsey family. Right. Yeah, I've been around horses pretty much my whole life, although we never owned horses when I was a kid. Just kind of got a passion for them. Not a show guy, nothing crazy, just like some backyard horses and always liked being around them. So when my kids were born, you know, horses kind of came in the picture, and it's just never really stopped. I can't get away from them.
Okay, but see, this is where I have a problem with you, Buck. Is you have a daughter and you had daughters into horses. You actually have a daughter that's seriously a trainer and owns her own barn and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So she's like deep into horses. And then you had the opportunity when you were single to get out of this life. You had the opportunity to leave, to flee, to find a nice woman who didn't have a horse, maybe just had a little cat. But no, then you meet Helena and you jump in with both feet back into the deep end of the pool. What is wrong with you?
I had every opportunity to get out. You know, there's something magnetic about the horses that I can't seem to leave behind. I like being around them. I don't really have to ride them. I just like having them around. I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, a girl.
Well, now that's a good question, and we haven't talked about this yet, but I kind of like, I like horses. At times I've owned more than Jennifer, but I like horses, but I like horse people. You know, that's why I ended up doing this. Do you like the horse people?
I want to take
a
step back. So, Buck, you said you don't have to ride them, but you like being around them. They're kind of like women.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
So I just wanted to make sure that I was hearing you.
I missed that. Good catch here, Timothy.
I'm glad someone was paying attention.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about that on the next Stable Scoop show with Alina. Good catch, Timothy. Now I totally forgot what I asked. I'm totally gone now. Where were we at?
I don't know.
Either.
Talking about riding women and riding horses, and which one do you need? You know,
Do you like the horses? Do you like horse people?
I don't really need to be around horse people at all. Okay. I just like being around the horses.
Okay,
and I like to get on and go for a trail ride. I never need to be in a ring. So it's kind of if you can't beat them, join them moment. I think. I mean, I really didn't think I'd ever get back into being on a horse again, or caring for horses, or, you know, helping with paying for a horse or anything like that. So when I got to know Helena and she was so into the horse world, I really did have this kind of like, if you can't beat them, join them moment. And now, you know, I like it. I'm happy that I did it.
Well, and she only has two horses. You're not like in Timothy's situation where his wife has like 85.
Two horses is plenty. You don't even have to feel guilty when you don't go out to the barn to help muck. You can
That's
be
right.
like... I got better shit to do, better stuff to do.
I don't think Timothy
does your
feel,
wife
do
have
you
Timothy?
Feel guilty when you don't go out to help Timothy when you could?
We've got, well, you know what? When we're talking about better crap to do, you know, as far as crap goes, horse crap is pretty I'd far rather do horse crap than like cow crap or dog crap or any other kind of crap. So, you know, I'm a big fan of horse crap, but the dogs are even more fond of the horse crap. It's delicious, apparently.
It's true. They dig into that, man.
Well, I got a question for you, Timothy, then, because how many horses does your wife have? Like, a lot.
I try not to count, but not as many as you'd think. I think we have on the property high 30s. Or no, low 30s, high 20s, something like that.
That's like 30 horses, people. So now, do you feel guilty? Like, if she's out working and you happen to be home that day and inside doing something else, do you feel guilty?
No, it's a pretty good division of labor. If she's outside finishing up like she is tonight, I'm usually doing something else. At the very least, I'm making dinner. So the division of labor is there
is really good, you know. But I'm certainly there to help out where I need to. And if I'm just really want her to be done and in the house so that we can hang out, then I join her. But, you know, we're busy people.
Well, I got to tell you, that's one of the things that Buck can speak to is cooking dinner. He's an excellent cook. So far, every guest we've had on the Horse Hubby episodes are the cooks. And Buck, we were up there over the summer, and he cooked every night. It was wonderful.
What do you make, Buck? Yeah. What's your specialty?
I don't really get in anything too fancy. I just like to throw something on the grill and then make some, you know, whatever's around. Like when Glenn and Jennifer were up, we, you know, it's corn and tomato season in New England. So we pretty much eat corn and tomatoes and whatever's coming. We had a big garden this year, so whatever comes out of the garden to go along with it. So that's usually what I like to do. But and then, of course, there's always a little wine and, you know, whatnot to go with it. Can't really leave that out of the equation. But I think that the whole thing about having that many horses, Timothy, is you got to have some people there working at least. So it's not just that's not a home hobby anymore.
Yeah, we discussed that earlier in the show, Buck, and they don't.
Get out.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's all Elisa, which, you know, on the one hand, it's nice for her. It sounds odd, but she likes being connected to the horses. And so even having access to the various habits and just sort of being in the stalls is, I think, comforting in a lot of ways. On the other hand, she really does need help. And it's been a real struggle for her, as it is, I think, for a lot of equestrians, even high level equestrians like Elisa, to find excellent help. We do have good help. But nothing full time. And that's really, really what we need. And it's not a function of the fact that we don't want it and we're not looking for it. It's just a matter of finding the right fit.
That is
hard.
Don't
call me because I.
Buck's not coming down.
There's two stalls down here and it's all I can.
Yeah, that's me too. Two is enough now.
Kicking the field is the worst.
I did the thing. We did the thing. And I don't know how she does it. I mean, that is a lot of work. That really is a lot of work. And you know what? She can feel connected to the horses without having to shovel shit. She can really do that, yeah.
Yeah, so. I think she's over it.
Yeah.
I think she's ready.
Yeah, you can feel connected without that
and
particular
And I'm over
chore.
It, too. I'm over it, too. I don't want her to be out in the barn into the late evening just, you know, cleaning stalls. She should be done by 6 or 7.
Yeah. I agree with you. Well, Buck, now you've been, you know, obviously involved with this and doing it for a long time. So what are the pluses and minuses for you?
All right. Well, the pluses would be, first of all, I get to be around horses, which I don't know. I like messing with them. You know, I like pushing them around and, you know, like teasing them and stuff and feeding them and, you know, getting involved in their antics a little bit. So I think that's the biggest plus for me. I'd love to get on them and go out on the road, you know, down the road for a hack. So that's definitely a big plus. Grooming, it's kind of in the middle. I don't mind a little brushing and some hoof picking, but, you know, I don't live for that. The minuses are, you can't really get away from it. You know, it's a costly, again, two horses. I preach into the choir when I say it's costly, Tim, but it's costly and it's just hard to get away a lot of times. And you have to be willing to manage it. So I think that, you know, because Helena doesn't mind, making sure that, you know, when the horses get out, she goes and gets them. If his rail's down, you know, she fixes that, or, you know, she pretty much manages most of it. So I'm kind of like a part-timer. And so that's kind of a nice gig. If I had to manage it full-time all the time, which I've done, I'd probably be like, that's a bigger commitment than I really want, you know? So I don't know. The other minuses would be, I hate picking the field, man. On a hot day, you're out there filling a wheelbarrow like 5 times. I mean, how many times do horses go in a day?
You get, picking like, a field? In a day? Is that something that people do?
Oh, we do it every day.
What?
Yeah.
A field?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, we pick the field. So two horses times like if you pick it and then the next day you pick it again, there's like they've gone like 80 times. Like, I don't know how they, for what they eat. I don't know where it all
Isn't
comes
that
from.
Isn't that just fertilizer? Isn't that just, don't you well, just see, throw now, seed you, on top of it
you
and let
probably
it grow?
Have, how many acres do you have, Timothy?
You know, again, not as many as you'd think.
Because we have 11 here, so when we have the horses out, you have to pick it or it gets bad.
Well, we have probably an acre of turnout.
Yeah,
and if you don't pick it, there's just manure everywhere. Yeah, and it's and they've eaten it down. So it's not like it gets, you know, hidden in the grass. There'd just be piles all over the place.
I was in your position, Timothy, where we had more acreage and we did not pick. We dragged the fields then.
Right.
Yeah, but when you have smaller lots like we have, you have to pick. And you know, I kind of look, I'm the opposite of you, Buck, on that one. I kind of look forward to it because I'm so stuck in this office in front of this mic 100 hours a week. That I volunteer to go out and do it just because it's my time, you know, to get out of the house and actually move a little. That's and with two horses, it ain't so bad, you know, if you keep up on it. Yeah,
no, not so bad.
Well, now you, we have some questions for you that we would like to ask that we ask of every guest. This is kind of rapid fire.
Okay.
So we'll throw these at you and see what your answers are. And Buck has not been warned about these questions ahead of time.
All right.
We have five for you real quick. What is the chore that you hate the most with the horses?
Pick in the field.
The one thing you refuse to help with in the barn or with the horses?
Oh, if there's worming to be done old-fashioned way, I'm not playing.
Three, a product.
Okay. What is that? I need to know this.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, when you shove the stuff down her throat and you have to jam it all in there and they spit it all back out on you.
Yeah.
You know, that one. I don't do that. I don't like to do that.
Yeah. Number three, a product that you can't live without in the barn or, you know, around the horses.
Fly spray is no doubt number one. Got to have fly spray.
What is your pickup truck brand of choice? Everybody has one.
I drive a Toyota. I guess that's my brand of choice.
Toyota Tundra here, baby. And what advice would you give to someone considering a relationship with a horse person?
If you can't beat them, join them, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives to being around horses. I mean, I truly do connect with them, and I really do love them. I like the way they smell. I like messing with them. You know, I don't really have to get on them and ride them. I think that they're fascinating little beasts, big beasts, and they all have their own particular character. And, you know, like Brody likes a sip of beer or a sip of coffee when I go out to see him, which I think is hilarious and fun. That's my thing. There's no point in fighting it. You're going to lose in the end because wives will pick horses over men any day. So you may as well find a way to get in there and make it part of your world. And it's awesome. I really do enjoy it.
Well, I wanted to remind everybody, too, that's listening in, if you're a horse husband and you only listen to this episode every month of Horses in the Morning, we are doing a 12-hour live holiday radiothon brought to you by WeatherBeta on November the 30th. And we're going to do a horse husband's hour during that. Dr. Wendy Ying is going to come up, and we're going to be on the whole 12 hours. And then we're having all our other hosts from the Horse Radio Network come on and do different hours. But we're going to devote an hour, I think it's at 6 o'clock, on November 30th, Cyber Monday, to horse husbands. And so that'll be the only guy hour. And we're going to encourage you to call in. We're going to be talking about what it's like to be a guy with a horsey wife at the holidays, because that adds a whole new level of complexity and work that you never planned on Christmas Day or New Year's Day or any other holiday. So we're going to talk about that. It should be a lot of fun. It is a party. It's a Christmas party. We're going to be giving away prizes every hour. We have a big prize at the end of the day, and we're just going to have fun with it. We're going to get callers. We'll get some famous horse husbands to call in and tell their stories, and then we want our listeners to call in as well. So that's all coming up, and Tim's going to, you're going to make an effort to be here, so I know that you'll try to show up, and we're going to get Elisa to call in that day at some point, too. We'll get her to say hi.
And to play a snoring video, maybe.
You know, this is going to be the first time that it's been done in the horse world, this kind of 12-hour marathon. So we're looking forward to giving
it's such a good idea, Len.
It is. I think it's going to become an annual event. And thanks to WeatherBeta and HorseLovers.com for sponsoring it and making it all happen. So that's coming up. We'll tell you more details about that, call-in numbers and everything. And we're also going to request voicemails. So if you can't call in live, we want you to leave a voicemail, and we're going to put some voicemails together. And we want the best voicemails on our hour. you know, we can't let these women show us up. So we want some good voicemails in the hour of horse husbands. Well, Tim can be found at, what's the website again?
www.horsehubby.com for people who love horse people.
And how long do they have to get the pictures in for the calendar?
They have until, I should look. What? I make up the rules. I just make up the rules, Glenn. I don't follow them.
That's a horse husband. That's what we do.
That's right. I don't know, a couple weeks.
All right, couple weeks. Like maybe by the end of the month. That's a couple weeks.
That's a couple weeks.
November.
Let's
1st.
See. Yeah, it's October 31st. Yeah, in by Halloween, which means, unfortunately, you won't have any horse hubbies in Halloween costumes.
Unless
for
you
this
have
thing.
Them from last year.
Unless you have them from last year. So yeah. Send them in.
Yeah, because you're going to need one of those pictures for the month of October. So
that's
get your costume pictures in. I'm sure that there's a lot of horse husbands that have been put in embarrassing situations at Halloween with a horse wife. A lot of them. So yeah, get those pictures.
Looking forward to seeing them.
All right, that's great. And you can also listen to all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning. And if you missed the first episode of Horse Husbands, just go to horsesinthemorning.com. You'll find it there. And the easiest way to listen to the recorded version of our show is on our app. Just search for Horse Radio Network in the iOS or Android app store. It's free. It's easy to use. And all 8 shows from the Horse Radio Network are there. Well, that's it for this month, everybody. We'll talk to you again next month. See you, Tim.
See you, Glenn.